Speaking of the vibes, welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Momoonsi, alongside me as always, the one and only Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, let me start this show by saying happy birthday, my brother.
Oh, man.
And, hope you had a great day yesterday. I didn't want to disturb you too much yesterday. How was it?
Oh, man. Can't complain. Well, just work as usual. It was great. Thank you very much. And thank all of the people, friends, family, who wished me and reached out for a happy birthday. You know, I'm not much on holidays and birthdays, but thank you for all the people who...
We have one more message.
Yes.
Our good friend Bart, who works on this show with us, he says, from the heart of Europe all the way to LA, wishing BJ, the sensei, the OG, the father, a happy birthday. Hope the next year brings even more basketball games into your life and plenty of family time to enjoy. P.S. Yeah. Go Lions.
Oh, wow. You know what? I'm forever grateful. That is awesome. You know, people are the best. So
shout out to Bart.
Shout out to Bart. Thank you, Bart. Thanks, everyone, again. And the season is upon us, Mo. And you know, I'm just excited. The countdown has officially begun. I mean, it's here.
I'm excited. You know, people ask me a lot now. I had a question today. So I've been streaming on Twitch. I've been live streaming.
NBA you have been. Every time I call you now, you're live on Twitch. What's going on with that?
EJ, I'm just trying to expand the repertoire. You know, we've got the podcast, we've got the YouTube. Now I'm adding the live streaming in because it's a better way to kind of connect with the community of listeners and viewers that we've got. Because when you live stream, there's a chat box where viewers can put in their questions or their thoughts or their comments. And we had a question today in the chat from one of the users. By the way, if you want to watch these streams, it's twitch.tv/hoopgenius. In the past week, I've played 50 hours of NBA 2K25.
Oh, wow.
That's 2 days worth. And I know BJ right now is thinking, imagine if this guy actually went to work out for 50 hours in the past week. But I'm trying to improve my point guard skills. BJ, have you got any advice? This is my first time playing point guard. I usually always make a big man. And in real life, I've never played point guard because, you know, I've always been off the ball because you know how I like to catch it on the post and use my strength. So have you got any advice for me as a point guard?
Well, Mo, it's one of those things that when you play that position, the point guard, it's something that's essential. You have to be able to manage the time and the score. Mm-hmm. And Mo, you're used to putting, you know, points on the board. You're a scorer. You know, you score the ball.
Numbers on the
now,
board.
Now, Mo, you got to go out there and you got to figure out, okay, this guy needs a touch. This guy needs an open shot. Oh, I gotta take a shot myself. So manage time and score. And that will be my first thing. That's always hard. So the art of it is this. Here's the art. Can you be effective in the game without scoring?
Yeah.
That's the mark of a point guard.
So here's how it's gone so far. I always want to get my teammates involved. To start the game, I try and get everyone a touch. You know what I mean? I try and get everyone a look to start the game so everyone can get on the board.
That's called manipulating the game. You're giving them a touch so they won't double team you. That's what you're doing.
Okay, but what the problem I'm finding is I've not been aggressive enough in looking for my shots because I'm so busy trying to get everyone else opportunities to score. Let me ask you this, though. When you play on a team that doesn't have a star, you know, when you play on with Jordan, you know who's trying to get 20 shots a game, 30 shots a game, whatever. But when you're playing on teams that doesn't have that outright star and it's kind of a balanced five, how do you manage that in terms of knowing where to go? Are you just going with the hot hand because defenses will adjust to that? When say I've got someone in the corner who's knocked down three straight threes, the defense is going to adjust to that. How do you manage that side of things?
Well, you know, the easiest thing to do is you call someone or you label that person a star. You hear me say this off air all the time, but I'll say it here now. Is I don't think there's that many stars in the NBA. A star who is a bona fide player that can do the following. They are a standalone player. It doesn't matter where you drop them off. For instance, when LeBron James came into the league, he was a standalone player. Didn't matter where you really dropped him off. There aren't many of those players. Tim Duncan, a standalone player. That level of talent, just standalone. That's a star. Now, other players, like most of us, we have to get to the right situation. And when you find that situation, you know, your talent shines through. You play in the right system. You know, you might be a full court player, but the first team you go to, maybe they will put emphasis on a half court or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we make trades in this league, right? Because you try to find people and put them in the right system.
Yeah.
Sometimes you will find a player that complements another player and it works because they complement each other. One guy needs the ball, the other guy doesn't, you know, and then it complements each other. Sometimes you will get to a place where you have two players and they both have a game where they kind of operate in the same area.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, Mo, we throw that term around, a star, a superstar, but there's only so many of those players around. So how do you manage that, Mo? You have to share the basketball. Okay, that's the one thing that's whether you are a star player or not, you have to commit to that thought. You try to get as many open looks at the basket as you possibly can. And that's the job of a superstar. If you are a true superstar, you should play against two or more people, two or more defenders every
mm-hmm.
night.
Mm-hmm.
Jokic doesn't play one-on-one basketball anymore. He's playing against an entire defense. That's why he's a true superstar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, his job, which he is hands down the best at, that man can pass the ball and get open shots because he accepts the double team and he always makes the right read. That's the definition of a superstar. Just
yeah.
because you score a lot of points, just because you have the ability to create off the dribble or whatever it is you may do, it doesn't necessarily mean you are a superstar in its definition, because there are a lot of players that can score a lot of points, especially today.
Yeah.
Not taking away 25 points is 25 points. But Mo, it's easier to score in today's game because of the way that
the pace the game is and played. spacing and all of that.
And shooting, and they get more possessions, right? They probably have 25 more possessions than they had 15, 20 years ago, just because of the pace of the game now.
Mm.
And clearly they're shooting way more shots from the three than the previous generation did.
Yep.
Okay. But 25 points is 25 points. However, a superstar can manipulate the defense. Because you have to make a when you play against the Denver Nuggets, you have to make this decision. Are we going to defend him and let him get his? Or are we going to double team him and let everybody and hopefully those other guys won't make shots that night?
Yeah.
You can't play him straight up. You just can't do it.
No, impossible. But he's a unique talent in that way, though, to have your offensive engine come from the five position. I don't know how many fives have ever existed that are able to pass the ball like that.
Well, you pass the ball from this standpoint. There hasn't been any fives that had an opportunity to play full court.
Yeah, this is what I mean. This is what I mean. Like they could maybe have done it, but didn't see them do it. You see what I'm saying?
The game was you got the rebound, you outlet the basketball, you run the court. Now he rebounds the basketball and pushes it out.
Yeah.
That's a new concept at the five position, right? And for quite some time, that was a new concept at any other position besides the point guard to bring the ball up the court and distribute the basketball. You know, I remember when they started saying, point forward. So that was like, oh, wow, this guy is a point forward or a point whatever. But it's a different game now. So, which is really cool for Jokic to do because he's expanding how we play. The spacing is different. Transition defense is different because of it. But more importantly, regardless of position, Jokic can make any pass that he desires because he's that good and he's that skilled.
I want to ask you a schematic question here, which I know some of the newer fans of the NBA might be interested in the answer to, and I know my teammates will be listening to this episode, so I'd like them to listen to this answer. When you're going up against a 2-3 zone, BJ, what's the best way to beat that zone?
Well, you always got to put people in the gaps, right? So if it's a 2-3, you got one guy that's dividing up at the, you know, where the two is at. Then you got another guy on the wing where the wing and the forward is at. And you got to attack the gaps. You have to get penetration in the zone, right? You have to divide. When I say divide, you have to figure out where the gaps are, penetrate the gap, and then be a willing passer, right? Because the zone defense is designed to what? To force you to just take the first shot available.
Mm-hmm.
But if you penetrate and move the zone, in theory, you should have better rebounding position because you're not boxing out. You're a man. You're just boxing out a position on the floor on the defensive end. So, you know, it's kind of a cat and mouse game. However, if you're going to play against that, you have to get into the gaps and take advantage of that and then be a willing passer once you get into one of those gaps.
And also, if it's a player who's off the ball, do you want them cutting through those gaps and causing some movement to force the defense to have to think rather than just the person who's got the ball?
Well, what you would like to have, Mo, is you would like to have a sound offense. You would have to like to have sound offensive principles. And those principles will look like the following. A sound offense is designed or should be designed where you have the opportunity to pass the ball to all four of your teammates every single time that you get it. Now, when you play isolation basketball, clearly you can't pass it to the other four guys on the floor because it's just, this shot is for me. That's what it basically is. But when you have a sound or principled offense, it's designed so that you can take advantage of whatever the defense can't take away every option. That's why great coaches, great teams all practice the same thing. They are fundamentally sound. We will, you know, you hear coaches say read and react. You have to read the defense and you react accordingly, but you have to have fundamentals in order to do that. So when you're playing against a zone defense, when you're playing against a good team, you want to have a sound offensive set that will allow you to pass the ball to all your four teammates, clearly be a threat on the offensive end. But more importantly, you have to have the skill set. You have to be fundamentally sound to be able to make the proper read, whatever the defense does.
Now, obviously, when you were in Chicago, you ran the triangle offense, famous triangle offense that everyone knows. When you were coming into that Chicago setup and that was first introduced to you, you know, because people often hear about NBA players having to learn hundreds of different plays and so on and so forth. How long did it take you to feel like you fully got it and could operate it as the point guard of that team?
Well, you never really get it because you've never seen all of the defensive schemes. So, for instance, what you learn in high school or college, you know, for the most part, you're probably the best player on the team. You can overwhelm people with either with your physical ability, ball handling ability, shooting ability, whatever the case may be. But when you get to the pros, every player is gifted in their own special way. And then you may have a player where the defense has to make a decision. Now, we call those players superstars. I was just fortunate enough to play with a guy that every team in the league had to compromise their defense in some capacity. So what does that mean? That means that the team had to make a decision. If you play this player one-on-one, he'll score 50 points and win. If you double team him, he will be able to create offense for his teammates. Either way, we never had to worry about getting a shot.
Pretty sweet.
Okay.
Must be nice.
So now your ego can tell you, oh man, I'm running an offense. I did this. No. The truth be told, we played with the player that compromised every defense. That's why he was a superstar. Every night, I never wondered like what the defense was going to do. It was just like, okay, I'll just wait to see what you're going to do. Oh, they're not doubling. Well, okay, this guy's going to score 50 tonight. Okay, they're doubling. Okay, I got to score 10 points in the first quarter. So the coach will be like, oh God, if he scores 10 and the other guy gets 35, we have no chance to win the game. And every night you had to figure out who had the hot hand. So the reason I'm sharing that is because I would love to tell you that if you run an offense, just because it has sound principles, you still got to have the players to execute it. And every player provides a unique skill to the offense. So for instance, if I'm a point guard on a team and the way that I played in the NBA, one of the things that teams would defend, they would say like, this guy can shoot a little bit. Okay, so the offense would look different than if Jason Kidd, for instance, was running the offense. They would say, this guy's a great passer. This guy will push the pace. This guy will do. So every offensive set or whatever you're trying to do, it has to have the flexibility to be able to utilize the skill set of that particular player. So those Bulls teams that I played on, for instance, every team couldn't run that offense because every team didn't have a player who could compromise the defense like he could.
Yeah.
Okay. In addition to that, we never worried about getting a shot within 5 seconds. Why? Because that's what he was an expert at, getting the ball and getting a shot off at 5 seconds or less.
Yeah.
That's an art. Okay. For instance, the late Kobe Bryant, incredible. Tracy McGrady, another guy could do it. Allen Iverson, like
Paul Pierce.
Yeah, Paul Pierce, the truth. He could do it. So there's three types of shooters. You got to figure out which one you are. You're a guy who creates shots. You're a guy who can make open shots. Or you're the third type of scorer. You can't shoot. Okay?
That's a bar.
Yeah. So once you figure out how many of those guys you have on your team, then it is our job as a decision maker. We started off this conversation as a point guard. Well, I knew not to throw the ball, for instance, to Bill Cartwright with less than 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I also knew not to throw the ball to Will Perdue, for instance, in less than 5 seconds. But we happened to have a couple of players who I knew were capable of doing that. And all we had to do was give them the proper space to do that.
And what did you do, though, when you went on to teams where you didn't have a guy that you could trust with the ball with less than 5 seconds?
Well, you hear coaches say it all the time. It's early in the season. I love it. It's early in the season. Translation. We don't know what we're doing yet. Hey, we're working on team chemistry. Translation. We haven't defined our roles yet. Who is supposed to get the most shots on the team? We're still working that out. We're working through. It's early. You know, you hear the coaches say all these things. Was there ever... We didn't have to worry about that. Like, we knew who was going to get 25, 30 shots a night. We knew what we had to do. And all we had to do was execute. So when you're coming into a team, you're trying to figure out who operates where. And then you try to get them the ball to where they best operate. Like, when you play with Shaq, your job is to draw a double team. Your job is, like, Shaq literally could have caught the ball every single time and tried to score, and no one could have said anything. But then what is the hardest thing for bigs to do is to catch the ball and be patient. Let the cutters go by. Let the double team come and then mow. Repost.
Yeah.
Once bigs start learning how to repost, it's almost impossible to guard them because you're moving the defense around. You let the double team come. You throw it back out. And then when the defense is going back to get their guy, they repost, and then it's too late. So once you start seeing those level players manipulate the game, Akeem Olajuwon, Shaquille, Tim Duncan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, once you start seeing that happen, Jokic now, Joel Embiid, it's really over. Those guys now, they're playing a different game. And I remember watching your guy, Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce, when he really wanted to manipulate the game, they would throw him the ball in the middle of the court at like the free throw line.
Yep.
And right in the middle of the floor. And I always thought, how cool is that to be able to catch the ball in an area where you know they can double team you and you have a significant advantage every single time. And he knew that. The team knew
and
that.
And he's patient with it in that triple threat, catches the ball.
And how cool is that? Like, Paul Pierce was a great player. He earned the right to do that. But how cool is it, Mo, to know that your coach says, hey, Mo, I'm going to give you the ball in one area where I know no one can double team you. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
So when you start seeing the level of sophistication of these coaches and all of these things, but more importantly, some of these players, they have that skill set. That's an amazing thing. And Paul Pierce was just one. Allen Iverson, for instance, Isaiah Thomas. You see them from time to time. You don't see it often, but when you do see it, it's an amazing thing. Like, it's really an amazing accomplishment. Like, when you watch Jokic, you go, how cool is that? Like, this guy can, he knows how to manipulate the defense now. He's just playing against five players every single night.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing thing to play against because he's really that good.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me take this back to the first question I wanted to ask is we got a question in the chat today on Twitch about the most improved player award. Mm-hmm. And I have some level of issue with the most improved player award.
Okay.
Because the favorite this year to win it before the season begins is Victor Wembanyama. And Ja Morant's won this award before. And I think that the most improved player award has lost its meaning. If you're the number one, number two pick, getting better every season is what you're supposed to do. I like when the most improved player award was when a player no one expected to be great becomes great. Like, remember when Giannis won most improved, or Siakam's there coming out of nowhere to become a great player for the Raptors, or even when Julius Randle, everyone had counted him out and he went to New York and he made an all-star team and led them to a top four seed. He's the most improved player. But now we're just giving it to guys who are making the expected leaps. That, like, before last season, we all said Tyrese Maxey was going to be a star this year. And he does exactly what we say, and they say he's the most improved. But I think someone like Kobe White should have been the winner of that. Or even Dante Exum, who was out of the league playing in Europe, made his way back in and was on a team that went to the finals. So I know he didn't play the 65 games, but what's your take on the most improved player award? Yeah,
I can see where you're coming from, and I respect your views on that. And traditionally, I would tend to agree with that. However, the game is completely changed now. And the reason the game is completely changed is because these kids are coming in. I mean, I call them kids. These players are coming into the game so young that you can definitely see the improvement of the game. Like Tyrese Maxey, you could definitely see the improvement of his game.
Oh, yeah.
And the hardest thing to go is from being a role player to a star player. That's a very big
leap. But with Maxey, we could see that before last season.
Yeah, you saw glimpses of it. But he did it for a whole year. I mean, that's hard to do. You can see Wembanyama, for instance, he showed you glimpses. But now we're saying, now he put it together. And the difference between a professional and an amateur is the following. If you're a professional, this is what you do. You have to do it on a consistent basis every single night. I'm looking for Wembanyama to be great all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
See that? Mo, he would have a game or two, and we'd love to talk about it. Did you see that game last night? But then they might lose three or four games, and you just kind of like, oh, well, he did. And then he'll make a game where he'll have like, oh, you go. Now I'm looking for him to be great all the time. That's what makes a great player great. So when I see players take that level or take that step, and I don't care where it comes from now because of the youth or the age of these players. These players were coming into the league at 23, 24, 25 years old. Now they're coming in at 18, 19. And you don't know when that step is going to come. The number one pick in the draft is not the same as it once was.
Yeah.
Okay? When David Robinson and Hakeem Olajuwon and these guys came into the league, they affected the win column. Mm. You always put plus 10 on wherever that team was at when the number one pick came because those guys were at that level. Now, we're waiting on Wembanyama to develop. Now we're waiting on...
I don't think anyone in the world has given the Hawks plus 10 wins because they drafted Zachary Risacher at number one.
Exactly. And so it's changed now. However, now you're saying he could be a really nice player in 4 or 5 years. That wasn't the case when Patrick Ewing, Shaquille O'Neal, and those guys came into the league, okay? So it's a different league. The way we evaluate players are different. The expectation is different. And because of their age, you don't really know who's going to be good because you're only getting a sample size to evaluate the players now, okay?
Yeah.
We can get a Jokic now in the second round. That was highly unlikely to happen years ago.
With that being said then, BJ, who is your prediction for most improved player this season? Is it Wembanyama?
It could be him this year. I'm looking for him to take a step. I'm looking for all these young players to take a step. I'm looking for, you know, what's the kid?
Chet Holmgren.
Chet Holmgren is probably going to take a step this year, but I'm really looking for the kid from Charlotte. What's that kid's name?
LaMelo Ball. Brandon Miller.
Brandon Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He's a player who could take a step. Like you saw glimpses last year, you know, even though they.
And
but
I,
you
and
saw
I'm expecting
glimpse.
Him to. Because that second half of the season for him.
You know, I remember Mikal Bridges, for instance, in Phoenix. He just took a jump. It's all of a sudden he was a nice player and boom, he took a jump. Okay, so you see this all the time. I remember when Giannis took a jump.
Yep. Lauri Markkanen.
So you see, Lauri Markkanen took, I mean, Lauri Markkanen, wow. I mean,
now that was a well-deserved Most Improved Player Award.
Yeah.
He was like, everyone, no one even cared about his trade. And then he comes out and becomes an all-star. Now that's that's the essence of the award.
So you see this, you know, we talk about Isaiah Thomas, for instance.
Yep. He should have got it 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, you see this from time to time. You know, I remember our good friend Jamal Crawford.
Yep.
Like, you know, these players, it just happens. You know, you don't know when it's going to happen. However, when it does happen, it's a beautiful thing because now you take the jump from becoming an amateur player to a professional player. And you just never know when that's going to happen for a player. And that's what I love to see. So, but Wembanyama, I want to see him be, which is, this is a big one for me. I'm going to ask him to be great every single night. That's why you have to respect Jokic and Luka Doncic. I mean, these guys do this now. Guy gets 28, 29, 30 points a game. Like, it's nothing. Jason Tatum, Jaylen
Brown. And 10 rebounds and 11
assists.
Yeah.
Like, no, you can't. Like, whatever you may think about the game, I mean, LeBron James has been doing this for so long now that, you know, he gets like 25, 27 a night. And you're like, God, he's like 40 years old and he's doing this. Regardless whether he can win or lose because he's set that standard for himself, the fact that he could still go out there and do that, Mo, at this age is still, what an accomplishment, okay, as a pro. All right? He may not can carry a team like he once could because of, you know, just that's why I said whatever he has, I'll just observe it and applaud it. But when you see someone do that, oh, that says a lot. I mean, getting 25 points a night in this league is 25 points, and that requires professionalism, okay? And, you know, I give those guys all the respect because it's hard, Mo. It's really hard to win in this league.
Well, that's another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, which will be...
You know what I wanted to talk about, Mo?
Now you tell me something. At the end, but before the show, I said, what do you want to talk about?
I had something. I want to say this right now. I just want to say this and throw it out there. I love the optimism in the air at the beginning of the season, right? This is one of my favorite times of the year, believe it or not, is prior to the season because everyone is so optimistic about their chances of winning. Oh, this team is going to be good. Oh, this team is going to the playoffs. Oh, this team is going to be a conference finalist. But I want to talk about our Knicks for a little bit.
Now we should wait until Scott's on the show.
Well, yeah, we can, but I prefer just you and I because of how close Scott was to the situation.
Okay.
You know, the Knicks made it to the
semifinals against the Pacers
last year. Okay. They literally every player was just unhealthy at the end.
Yeah.
But this year they're coming back with Julius Randle, who is arguably, up until last year, he was their best player. Arguably.
Yeah, up until Jalen Brunson became the star that he is now. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. But it's going to be fascinating to watch this integration.
And they've added Mikal Bridges.
Of what they're going to do. This is going to be fascinating to me to watch. Because these aren't just like role players that are coming in. Julius Randle was, what is he, like a three-time All-Star now or something like that? Or somewhere around
three
there?
Three-time, four-time three, maybe? Two, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
And then you have clearly Jalen Brunson now, who he's a star. You have Mikal Bridges, who's coming in. We have DiVincenzo, right?
OG.
And then we have OG there. We have Josh Hart there. There's a lot going on with this team. And I am fascinated to see, because we know this about Coach Tibbs. He has his guys.
Yep.
And he plays his guys. But he has a lot of guys now.
That's, hopefully he can get the balance to keep everyone healthy for the playoffs.
Yes. And whatever that is, it's going to be fascinating to watch how this plays out in real time. Because make no doubt about it, I don't know how it's going to play out. I agree with everyone saying on paper, I think this team is the second best team in the Eastern Conference. But more anything less than the conference finals, I think is going to be a massive disappointment for this group based on their talent. And I'm going to see how they're going to integrate Randall back into this fold.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a big, big challenge for this group.
Yeah, I saw a thing earlier that said Tibbs is considering playing Randall some minutes at the five and even playing OG some minutes at the five to make up for the departure of Isaiah Hartenstein. Because obviously behind Mitchell Robinson, they don't have too much depth. If Mitch gets injured, they're going to be in a tough spot for that five position. So I'm intrigued to see what they're going to do, because in the Eastern Conference, there's some big players at the five that, I don't know, going small against them is the best idea, but you never know.
So I just wanted to say that I'm going to be watching with great anticipation, but Mo, I think it's going to be a big challenge, and it could be a storyline, because you know what, if they get off to a slow start, as you know, in New York, they got to blame someone.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And they ain't going to blame Jalen Brunson.
Master of the obvious, are you?
BJ, it's 2 a.m. I did a 5-hour stream. You can see how red my eyes are from with these damn bright lights. Hitting me.
I always wonder why your eyes are did I just say that? Yeah, I did.
It's because I'd be putting in work. It's because I'm grinding here at my desk in the lab. That's the only reason my eyes are reds. That's it. All right. Let me enjoy the off-season, B. Come on, man.
Yeah. As only you can.
Hey. Don't worry. As soon as opening night comes around, I'm locked in. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. But until next time, make sure you guys subscribe to the show. YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm live on Twitch every day. 5 hours, 9 hours, 4 hours, whatever it might be. I'm there with the squad. We're streaming NBA 2K25. Come to the chat if you want to ask some questions and join the gang. But yeah, NBA season's almost here. I'm going to enjoy this final, what do we got, like a month now of somewhat rest, I guess, before the game start rolling around. Preseason schedule came out today. We'll have a look at that tomorrow. And we'll be back with more from the Hoop Genius podcast. So until next time, you guys know what it is. Get buckets.